Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stop whatever you're doing. Close your emails. Pull into a lay-by. Put down that spoon. Stop jogging, for fuck's sake. It's time for News Thing, the podcast. Britain's longest-running and least shit satirical podcast. Now, bringing you the facts that matter and the opinions that don't, please welcome your hosts, Sam Delaney and Andy Dawson.
Hello and welcome to News Thing, the podcast from the makers of Top Flight Time Machine, which takes a look at all the big news stories that have caught our eye over the last few days. We had a gap last week, sorry about that. I'm Sam Delaney.
I'm Andy Dawson.
Andy,
I've got a frog in my throat already.
No, that's an egg and bacon sandwich in your throat, mate.
Yeah, it is, yeah, to be fair.
So we're here, we're face to face for a change, which is good, and will only lend extra quality to the podcast that's about to follow.
Don't make any promises we definitely can't keep, though.
Andy, we say that it's early in the morning. You've just inhaled your egg and bacon sandwich.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And you've got a what can only be described as a venti coffee there.
Yep.
Right? And that is the way
that you, Andy Dawson,
set your... That's how your daily regime begins.
Every day without fail.
Is that the beginning, or have you been on the train on the way down from the northeast today?
No, I stayed over in London last night. This is regular for me.
The reason I'm talking about your rigorous daily regime is that another man with similar standards to your own has revealed his on social media this week. I'm talking, of course, about Mark Wahlberg.
You've segued beautifully into that.
One of my favourite film stars.
And also a leader of the Funky Bunch.
Yes, leader
back
of the Funky
Bunch.
He's done so many great things, hasn't he, Mark Wahlberg? And one of the things I've always admired about him is his gorgeous physique, which he has maintained right into his late 40s. He's 47 years old now. He's still got the six-pack and the guns and all the rest of it. And he revealed to his fans this week how he achieved that. And it's quite something, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he posted an actual list of his daily schedule, starting at 2:30 a.m. wake-up, which is ludicrous. And then he goes into 2:45 a.m. prayer time. So it takes him 15 minutes to wake up.
Well,
so
I'm like that, though.
Yeah, kind of like the rest of us. 30 minutes of prayer time, it says here, at 2:45 a.m. Then breakfast, which lasts 25 minutes. That's a very precise time for a breakfast. Mm. Then there's a workout. You know, I don't know what that is.
There's a long workout as well, though.
A long workout till 5:30. No, hang on. 3:40 till 5:15 workout. Then there's a 15-minute gap. So there's a question there to be asked. Then
he's toweling himself off, maybe.
15 minutes? G. Arthur, I think.
He's got a lot of body.
First G. Arthur of the morning that he doesn't talk about. Then a post-workout meal, then a shower. 7:30 till 8 a.m. it says golf.
Half an hour of golf. I'm not a golfer, but as I understand it, you need to put half a day aside for,
definitely,
for golf, don't you?
Yeah.
You've got to get all your silly clothes on first, your jodhpurs and that.
Yeah.
Even if you had a crazy golf, you know... Sometimes I've spent half an hour just trying to get through the fucking windmill.
Exactly.
You have to try about like 40 times sometimes.
Yeah. And there's that one on the ninth hole where there's a jumps over like a ravine and you've got to hit it so it'll go over. But then sometimes it'll go too far and go off the end. And
I've been stuck on that shit for well over half an hour, one hole. So I don't know what kind of golf he's playing.
Wahlberg's an achiever, so he's obviously mastered this crazy golf course that he's got.
Yes.
He's got it down to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Then another snack, and then
a snack that's in there for an hour and a half, so it's got to be some fucking snack.
This is another one I can identify, the 90-minute snack.
Yeah.
Then cryo chamber recovery. Do you know what that is?
No.
I think he mentions it. Right, in this BBC story I'm looking at, cryotherapy recovery is a treatment favoured by athletes using liquid nitrogen to briefly plunge the air to a temperature below 100 degrees centigrade, or Celsius as they say now, to alleviate muscle and joint pain.
Well,
and he does that for an hour.
An hour in there, it sounds fucking cold. I tell you what, I read it as a cry chamber recovery, which is something that I would like.
Again, that is something we could both identify with. Just an hour
I'd like
of crying.
Just a room I can lock myself in, soundproof, so the kids don't have to hear.
Because we're both family men, so an hour of crying a day.
It's not ideal. Sometimes, I suppose, like all men of our age, fathers of our age, the toilet is very much our cry chamber.
Very much.
Sometimes you'll go in there, sit on the loo, and just have a good cry. But often the kids can hear. Hmm. Daddy, are you crying in there?
Yeah.
And you might just go silent and think, well, maybe just they'll go away.
Suppress the sobbing.
Swallowing the tears. But it's not ideal if they hear. So a cry chamber would be a great thing.
Yeah. I don't know how many kids he's got, but that's probably a type what will be a cry chamber, I imagine. Then another snack. That's a 30-minute snack. Second one of the day. Whoa, hang on. So that means between 8 and 11 a.m., he's devoted 2 hours to snacks.
Good man.
Either side
now
of his
I'm warming
chamber.
To him.
Yeah, it's starting to feel more like the kind of regime I could
I'm
buy
guessing
into.
It's an Andy Dawson classic. He has a BAP with egg and bacon and a venti Americano.
Almost certainly. Then there's family time, so maybe the cry chamber is to sort of
ready himself.
Yeah, fortify himself.
And you know, first you have a right good cry,
get
and then you
out.
Have a big meal. It's important. I tell you what is important for real. Mm-hmm. When I go home in the evening from work, another frustrating day in the office, you know, and you're going home and you're thinking about your worries and your stresses. And if I'm hungry, I will not be the father I should be, because I will be distracted.
Do you get hangry?
I get hangry.
Yeah, me too.
I get distracted, grumpy, and my head's not in the game. So it's quite good to always pre-prepare for family time with not a little snack. Try and get yourself really full up so there's a lot of energy in you when you get into the house.
Like a big baguette.
Big baguette. Stand in the front garden.
Cheese in it.
I'll stand in the front yard. Just looking through the window at the kids, peeping, so they can't see me. Because if they see me, they'll come out before I finish the baguette. So I crouch down, and I peep through a little gap in the blinds, and I consume a massive baguette, right? And then, like, maybe knock back something like a super malt, a can of super malt, something like that, something that's really...
I don't know what that is.
It's like one of those nutritional
it's a London
things.
Thing.
No, it's a nutritional sort of malted drink. Anyway.
All the roid heads take.
Yeah. Just anything, just fill my face with calories. And then eventually when I feel suitably, like, stuffed full, go in the door. Hi, kids! It's good.
This is after you've had a cry.
Yeah, I have a little cry, and then I'm good to go. I'm ready to be super dad.
Ready to be, yeah, exactly. So he does 2 hours of family time, then it says meetings and work calls. So that'll be about 5 minutes with the family, do you reckon?
Yeah.
And then up into his
den.
That is
telltale where it goes family time / meetings / work calls.
Yeah.
It's like, mate, that defeats the idea of family time. It's either family time or it isn't.
Well, it isn't, is it?
No.
And then lunch, so it's time for more eating for Wahlberg.
To recover. Yeah.
And then 2 p.m, more meetings and more work calls.
Oh, boring.
And then 3 p.m, pick up kids at school.
Mm.
Ah, so family time is 11 a.m. The kids get picked up at 3, so family time must be him and his wife.
Utter crap, that family time. He's fucking admitted that it's a lie.
He's dropped that in just to make him sound like a good fella, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's bullshit.
So that's bollocks. Pick up
unless
the kids
he's going
at school.
To see the wife. Oh, I go and visit some cousins and an old aunt at that time.
Yeah.
They're my family. Bullshit.
Who have kept it real by not moving into a big house. He hasn't bought a big house for them. He likes to keep it real by going back to the,
yeah,
the shack.
He goes to, or maybe he Skypes them in their hovel in Boston.
Yeah.
Live from his LA mansion.
Yeah, that's what that'll be. Mm. Then again, picks the kids up, then another snack.
Yeah.
At 3 p.m, 3:30 snack. Workout number two, just a 1 hour workout this time. And then a shower. Again, the shower takes 30 minutes, it says here. So that's G. Arthur number two of the day, I reckon.
Lovely.
Nicely spaced out as well. Very effective.
Well, yeah, he's had time to replenish the stocks.
5:30 p.m. dinner / family time again. That takes 2 hours. And then 7:30 p.m. bedtime. When he extended
starts. Mark Wahlberg. You know how long it takes me for my ball back to get refueled between jerking off I have one jerk off. Let's see now. When was that? I have a jerk off at 6 a.m. and then I jerk off again in the shower at 5 p.m. and I'm fully refueled.
That's 11 hours.
Yeah, that's because of the amount of zinc I'm eating in my meal. In the snacks, I eat a lot of spinach.
I'm practically throbbing by 6 p.m. By 5 p.m. for the second one. And it's over in a matter of seconds.
Back when I was in the Funky Punch, I would be doing that 8 or 9 times a day.
I'd be rubbing myself raw. And the Funky Bunch would look on and say, Marky Mark, what are you doing? We got a B-side to lay down. Stop whacking off. And then he goes to bed at 7:30.
Boring cunt.
Before all the good telly comes on.
Yeah. What time do you go to bed?
Me, as late as possible, usually.
I go to bed at like 10:30.
I've started going to bed earlier, though. I think it's an age thing. I'm 46
I've been doing
now.
It for years.
Do you recommend it? Do you get up early?
Pretty early, about 6, something like that.
Fuck, that's weird.
Yeah, but the kids have to get off quite early to school. I go to bed early. But I've got mates who will, even when like everyone else in the house has gone to sleep, stay up. Because I think it's a hangover from when you're literally still an adolescent.
Mm.
Where you sort of thought, it's really... Like my best mate, he thinks it's boring to go to bed before 1. Even if actually all he's doing is just... So he'll like stay...
Watching Bib Station.
Yeah. Like everyone is... His wife and kids have gone to sleep, but his wife knows he'll never go... Unless like there is an actual verbalised guarantee of sex from his wife, which I assume is rare, right? He will think, no, there's an outside chance of any sex, so I might as well just stay down here.
Yeah.
Because he feels that if he doesn't stay up till 1 at least... Then he feels like, oh, he's really boring
he's
and sad.
He's wasted his day, wasted his evening.
Yeah, but he's just sat there on a sofa. There's nothing to watch or do.
Well, that's
he'd be
my
watching
life
something
well.
Weird on Eurosport or something like that.
That's my life as well.
I think you might as well have the sweet release of sleep.
But the thing is, I've got two kids and they tend to stay up. The earliest one, the youngest one goes to bed at like sort of like 9:45.
Right.
And then my daughter, who's 14, is like knocking around until about midnight at least. So
wow.
I have to wait till she goes to bed usually.
Yeah.
But it means I can't watch any adult content on the telly. I'm not talking about,
no,
you know, so Babe Station.
No, but something that she'd find boring, like a documentary or something that's disturbing.
Or something that's got a bit of, you know, something that's got knockers in it, for example.
Oh, I see. I was trying
like
to
look an old episode of The Sweeney. Because, you know, she's going to walk in
great,
and it's going to be embarrassing.
There's a few great knockers episodes, isn't there?
Oh, superb ones. I think there's a knockers compilation on YouTube, but it's
put those away, love.
Yeah. Put your knickers on and get a kettle on.
And put those knockers away, for fuck's sake.
What was the point I was making? I don't think there was one. But
well,
I ended
talking
up watching
about
fucking
adult
Bullseye
content.
Repeats.
Yeah.
So I've already seen.
I was watching that programme, The Bodyguard, last night.
I've heard that's racy.
It's a bit racy at times, yeah. Keely Hawes, very attractive. And they say that the bloke playing the bodyguards are attractive as well. But
didn't notice.
It's all right. It's, you know, it's pretty good. But my daughter had gone to bed and she came down. She'd been up there for about 45 minutes. I thought she was asleep. She'd woken up. Maybe she'd had a bad dream. And it's not that racy. But there's a bit where Keely Hawes playing the Home Secretary. It's easily the raciest bit I've seen. I think I've seen...
Right.
3 episodes. It, like, suddenly, she's undone her trousers. This is the Home Secretary.
So it's like Theresa May?
Yeah. Or, well, the current Home Secretary is Saeed Javid, so imagine him doing this. She's opened her trousers up, unbuttoned her flies, and just put her hand down her knickers and started interfering with herself.
Fucking hell, what?
I could not believe it. I've looked at my wife like, what the hell is going on here? And, of course, that's the moment you hear the door opening because your daughter's coming in. And I know she already suspects that we're watching. I don't know what she thinks we're watching, but, you know, like when you're a kid and you go to bed, you wonder about what is it that my parents are doing?
Yeah.
And actually, there's not. I mean, we're watching boring things usually. And fucking Keely Hawes, the Home Secretary, has got her hand in her knickers.
I was like
fumbling around. I was like a teenage boy who'd been caught watching porn. I was like, fucking, I like leapt across the room and grabbed the zapper. The remote and fucking switched over in all one slick move. It was quite impressive, actually. That's quite good. Oh, yeah, this is a question for you and the listeners that we can answer now or at a later date.
Right.
But what is the best bit in a film ever? Of all the bits.
Oh, that's too big a question just to throw at me now.
I know,
like that.
That's why I'm throwing it at you.
The best bit
What's
in
the best
any
bit in
film?
A film? Because, you know, when you're a kid, you like a lot of people might have thought it was the bit where Indiana Jones reaches under that door, that trap door, and gets his hat back just in time.
I can tell you what it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's the bit in the Likely Lads film where Bob and Terry have had a falling out, and Bob's come along to see Terry and try and make it up, and Terry's doing a bit of fishing. Mm. And he says, "All right, kidder." He says, "Yeah." He says, "Want some coffee? I'd offer you a can, but I've only got six."
Yeah, that's nice.
And my other favourite bit in any film is from the Penguins of Madagascar film.
Oh yeah, that's a great film.
Where what's the line again? The penguins see a leopard seal. Mm. And one of the penguins goes, whichever the boss penguin is, you know, the funniest one. Yeah. He goes, the leopard seal, nature's snakes. Nature's snakes.
That's
fuck
very
me,
good.
That's brilliant.
That is
I can
really
watch
good.
That line is just someone's isolated and put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I can watch that over and over again.
It's a great movie. The penguins are funny in all of those movies, aren't they?
Yeah. So what's your favourite bit in any film?
I don't know. I mean, I've been thinking about. There's three things I remember loving when I was a kid. One is Indiana Jones grabbing that hat just as you think he's going to die.
Yeah.
And he rolls under and then reaches back to get the hat. That's good because you always want to clap. Also in Indiana Jones, same movie, two of the best bits ever. When he, I mean, now we're familiar with it, but can you remember how he felt the first time that geezer comes up to him in the market and starts doing the sword play?
Yeah.
And Indy just pulls out his gun and shoots him.
Yeah.
That's definitely one of the best bits. And I also quite like it when they escape from Jabba's palace in Return of the Jedi.
That's good, yeah.
You think all is lost, and then suddenly Luke jumps off that, you know, he has to walk the plank into that giant fanny. Jabba's putting him into a massive fanny in the middle of the desert.
That's what it is, yeah.
And he's just about to fall and have death by giant fanny. And suddenly he jumps off the edge, spins, grabs hold of the end of it, does a fucking Jedi somersault, and R2-D2 fires a lightsaber across from Jabba's boat, his flying boat. And Luke just fucking catches it and just fucking starts going absolutely, he causes mayhem.
It is, yeah.
That is a wicked bit. So those are three things. You've had one.
You've chosen ones from childhood, from children's films, basically.
Well, they live with me more, yeah. I mean, there's other films where there's great
bits. You can't
go
back, Sam. You can't go back.
Rita, Sue and Bob 2 has, like, about a dozen contenders.
Yeah.
I
thought I were great.
Yeah. Go on, Bob. Come on then, morning mini. And just the opening scene where the drunk dad is just walking across the estate. And the first time you ever see the film, you think, oh, is this going to be one of those bleak films, you know? Oh, is it going to be like a Ken Loach film and everyone's going to be really, like, poor and it's going to be so depressing? And you see it and it's on this bleak estate in Bradford and the mad old dad is, like, pissed out of his head and he's shuffling along. You think, oh, God, I don't think I can get through this. And then a dog wanders up and starts yapping around his leg. And he shakes the dog off and just goes, fuck off! And that's the opening line of the film. And it's also arguably the best bit. And right up there amongst the best bits of all time. So our listeners could get in touch. We might put this out on Top Flight Time Machine as well.
Yeah.
And then on Twitter we can sort of try to work towards compiling the best ever bit.
Okay.
Yeah?
We could bang this out on TalkSport next week as well because we're on that.
Yeah, the best bit. That's great. On TalkSport next Wednesday, that'll be our server. What's the best bit ever?
Of anything.
Of anything.
What's the best thing?
It's a very simple question. What's the best thing?
What's your favourite colour?
Yeah.
Right, Marky Mark's dealt with then, I think.
Yeah, dispatched. Well done, Marky Mark. No wonder you look so gorgeous. We will start trying that out and we'll report back on future episodes of News Thing as to how it's going.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Now, Jacob Rees-Mogg was approached outside his house. He was coming out with his kids and his, maybe his missus. And
was the nanny
what
there
are his
well?
Kids called again? There's
Jocasta's one of them.
Sunjun.
Saturday.
Febreze. And Aviva.
Pok Choi.
Yeah, Pok Choi. Morning Glory. Onesie. And Butterscotch.
Oh, I'm just looking at
Angel
it. It says
Delight.
His wife is called Helena de Cher.
Lovely.
Which, of course, translates into English as Helena the Chair.
Yeah. It sounds like something from, like, a Carry On film, that name, doesn't it? Helena de Cher. Anyway.
Sixtus Dominic Boniface Christopher is one of them. Oh, I'm not going to get into it. We haven't got long enough.
Look,
what
they were all coming out, and some bloke is doing a protest. Veteran anarchist Ian Bone.
Mm-hmm.
At first I read that as veteran antichrist Ian Bone, but it was an anarchist and some other demonstrators. They heckled the children and, even worse, the nanny.
No way.
Leave her out of it.
She's just a worker.
It's like, it's not her fault. She's just trying to earn a living.
Ian Bone is the originator of the class war movement and newspaper. And surely the nanny is one of the workers that he's trying to emancipate.
Yeah, well, one of the things he's saying to the kids, you've got a nanny looks after you. Your daddy doesn't pay her very much. He doesn't really, he doesn't believe in minimum wage, right? And it's like, oh, that's his little concession to showing that what he's actually doing doesn't really make any political point. No. And, you know, it's just so nasty. When you see it, you sort of think, mate, what's your fucking problem? And you're sat there looking at fucking Jacob Rees-Mogg, who ordinarily you'd think was a bit of a prick.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling fucking... I mean, look, if you're standing there, Andy, with your kids...
Yeah, and my nanny.
And your nanny.
Yeah.
Right? And who is gorgeous, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And...
I don't skimp when it
comes to
the
coming
nanny.
Out of your Sunderland mansion, and I can imagine round your way, there probably is a lot of bitterness towards you because you come to London a lot.
I'm an achiever.
You're an achiever, yeah. And you probably waltz around the place like the lord of the manor.
I do flaunt yes. the achievements.
Yeah, chucking money around, like being asked for autographs in the pub, all that sort of stuff. And so, you know, if this could actually happen to you, and then, you know, the Sunderland wing of Class War are outside there shouting at your kids, your dad's not very nice, your dad doesn't pay the nanny much, your dad's a bastard. You'd be like, you'd come out swinging.
Yeah.
And you're
definitely.
Not a violent man, but you would come out swinging.
I'm more violent than Jacob Rees-Mogg is, though, I imagine.
I know, but you know about Jacob Rees-Mogg, don't you reckon he'd be the sort that if one of these days someone's going to push him too far? Because there's a lot of videos go around of Jacob Rees-Mogg being attacked by people verbally.
Yeah, and he just sort of stone faced.
He always comes out of it really well. Like, he always is polite.
Mm.
He tries to engage with them. He never bottles it, by the way. He never does a runner or hides behind security.
Like Boris Johnson.
He always fucking, you know, he'll engage with them politely.
Yeah.
And sometimes he disarms them, sometimes
he
doesn't.
Tries to kill them with kindness, doesn't he?
But one of these days, right, they push him too far. I can just imagine him removing his jacket very gingerly, hanging it neatly somewhere, and then adopting a kung fu pose. And it turns out he's fucking incredible at karate. And he just fucking takes out a room of anarchists. But really, and then afterwards, once he's finished and they're all lying around him, you know, bloodied and bruised and crying, he just very carefully puts his jacket back on, you know, brushes himself down, neatens his hair, and says something like, Thank you, gentlemen, for a very invigorating exchange. Good day. And then strolls off, because you fucking know it's exactly the sort of thing people like him. Do you know what I mean? Kids like that, he probably had, like, his dad paid for, like, a ninja to come over from fucking Japan and teach and be his personal ninja trainer.
And live in when the nursery with him when he was a kid.
Exactly. So, so you know, you say you're more violent. Yeah, you probably have more violent instincts, but you're more of a, like, a brutish street fighter when pushed. Whereas Reese Mogg, one of these days, is going to fucking show some amazing karate skills. And this geezer, Ian Bone, is lucky that he wasn't on the other end of it, because it was a horrible thing to witness. And you know what? It is reflective, Andy, of a sourness in our society right now, where there is a lot of division and a lot of hatred that I think is based on a lot of superficialities. Because, all right, Reese Mogg criticises policies, whatever, but people that guy doesn't like Rees-Mogg because Rees-Mogg comes across as posh, and you get a lot of that on Twitter and it doesn't really get you anywhere.
No. I think the problem with Twitter is when Twitter first started in like about 2008, whatever it was, and I was on there about 2009, the only people on there were the genuinely curious and like early adopters and people who were kind
Stephen
of a bit
Fry.
Switched on. Yeah. And then gradually, as the lumpen proletariat have got on there and realised that it's an outlet for their voice, where they previously didn't have an outlet because their opinions were fucking horrific.
Pointless.
They've now grown and swollen into this mass of fucking awfulness that is basically Twitter. And you've still got them few people who were there at the beginning. So going, no, we can't take any more of this. Stop this, make this stop. Ban the Nazis and everything. And that's kind of what's led the likes of Ian Bone, who previously was a marginalised figure.
Ian Bone, now, yeah, sort of he's been given confidence.
By other dickheads that are in the public realm spouting off similarly.
It's like the way that you get all these Corbynistas and they hate on what they call Tories, but they sort of call anyone a Tory.
Anyone who's not one of them.
Anyone who's not one of them is a Tory. And they never go particularly into what their objections are about so-called Tories either, do they? I mean, you know,
they spend a lot
neither
of time...
you or I are Tories.
No.
But I have known Tories socially.
I have.
And, you know, I don't start butt-fucking steaming into them because of what they think about the nuances of how the economy should be managed.
Well, you're saying that we're Tories in their eyes. We're just centrist dads
trying
to get along.
Yeah.
In our cry chambers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, we'd be Tories
in their
eyes. But
they call us Tories.
But they call everyone fucking Tories. And you've got to ask yourself, what's your problem with Tories? If you can articulate what the problem is, then we might get somewhere.
Firstly,
if it's a sneering tribal thing, like, you know, you're posh and we're not, do you know what I mean? And half of them, of course, are quite posh.
Oh,
these Corbynistas.
The far left, very posh. Yeah. I mean, first of all, what's your objective? Is your objective to get the Labour Party into power and into government? If it is, why are you going around calling all the people whose votes you need Tories?
Yeah. Why are you going around acting the cunt? I mean, who do they hate more than anyone? Tony Blair. What did Tony Blair do? Go around and make people like him?
Yeah.
Smiling.
He presented an electable face.
He did, and they're going, you know... Oh, well, we hate him and we think that's all bollocks and you're a sellout if you try to make people like you. I'm not saying adopt the policies of Tony Blair, that's your business. But they're literally, people like this Ian Bone and a lot of the left, they're going around acting the cunt. And do you know what happens is that who ends up looking good out of that whole exchange, which is symbolic of a wider sort of confrontation and conflict in society? Rees-Mogg.
Jacob Rees-Mogg. Look where we are now.
For Rees-Mogg, read... All the people who might be Tories with opinions that we might not agree with and endorse policies that we don't think are very good, but they come out of it looking better because, if anything, and this is a weird thing to say, but they come across as more British in as much as, you know, what he showed was calm, good manners, and do you know what else he did? He tweeted, I can't remember the exact words, but I saw last night that he had tweeted, to be clear... The people who confronted me and my children outside our home yesterday had nothing whatsoever to do with either Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour Party, or the broader leftist movement.
See, you've given him the fucking ammunition to do that.
And then he wrote, but he said they're not. And he said, I always play the ball, not the man.
Oh,
and he came across as Yeah, because everyone would have been going, oh, he's fucking leftist. Which is sort of what we're doing now, actually, because we are broadening it out and tarring them all the same brush. We're not saying that that guy in Bonehead and McDewey Corbyn, but we do think that it's symbolic of a wider sort of attitude amongst people in society. So anyway...
He has appeared at rallies with Corbyn.
Rees-Mogg comes out of the whole thing. Well, Corbyn, who's from quite, as I understand it, a well-to-do background himself, he is a hater of anyone who he perceives to have been from even a vaguely privileged background. He's a hater of them, but he himself is from more of a privileged background than most of us. Yeah, it must be that. It must be that. Guilt.
Mm.
You know, don't feel guilty, mate.
I don't know what it is. It's some desire to tell people how to live their lives.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what, by the way...
me and you doing that, really. Exactly.
By the way, that's what everyone's always worried about the left. They think that's the fucking big agenda of the left, is they're going to tell us how to live our lives.
Some kind of totalitarian regime.
That's what people think it always drifts into. And I don't think it need to, although, like you say, were you and I in a position to call the shots.
It did with New Labour, though. If you remember, New Labour seemed great in 97 when it first started. Mm. But by the end, by the time Blair went and Brown took over, there was a lot of... nanny state was the thing that kept getting mentioned.
Well, they passed more pieces of actual legislation. They introduced more laws than any other government in the history of the United Kingdom. And proportionally as well, because obviously they were in power a long time. They were in 13 years. But even if you break it down to an average of laws per year, you know, Tories don't actually put many laws on such, because that's the whole point of being a Tory. You're like small government.
Yeah.
And Labour, although they presented themselves as slightly more libertarian, perhaps, than you know, old Labour, they were passing them left, right and centre.
By the end, they were going to bring in ID cards and DNA databases and all that kind of thing.
They'd stayed in, they definitely would have passed all this thing that Jamie Oliver wants. I mean, I'm a fan of Jamie Oliver. I think he gets bad rap, but he wants, they would, if Labour was still in power, he'd be making hay with them.
Because calorie counts on menus.
They would have put all the laws in about what you and the likes of you and I, brilliant dads, who just, you know, give us our space to cry and we will, that's all we ask.
And a baguette.
And a baguette once in a while. And we will raise children, our children, your children, you know, whoever. We will set the template for good parenthood. But they would legislate to try and tell us whether we could feed our kids like a grab bag of hula hoops, for instance.
Be a nightmare. So when
breakfast, lunch,
so when
and dinner.
Corbyn gets in, it's going to be worse because the far left are going to be even more totalitarian than the libertarian centrists would have been.
You've seen what the centrists were like. Imagine what the proper left wingers are like. We'll all be fucking made to be vegans.
Should we start a centrist dad party? Me and you.
Yeah, we could, but we are sitting here sounding quite Daily Mail. So actually, I'm worried about what we'd do. But that's the thing, isn't it? The left kind of almost make you more right wing.
That's
they
what
can
happens,
do.
Yeah. It's the horseshoe, apparently.
Yeah, fucking hell. All right, well, anyway, look, let's forget about it because it's upsetting us.
Well, while we're being centrist dad, let's talk about John Lewis.
yeah, now that's a great centrist dad shot. And I'm astounded because, obviously, it goes without saying, I'm a massive fan of John Lewis, and I was under the impression that it was thriving. I'll tell you why. One of the reasons is that I've got a mate, well, she's a former colleague, and I'm still in touch with her. She's a lovely girl. And her sister is the extremely glamorous MD.
You've got me already.
Of John Lewis.
Oh,
have you seen her?
No.
John Lewis have got a really
I'm just going to Google extremely
beautiful,
glamorous.
A beautiful and glamorous managing director.
Is she
director.
More glamorous than the Croatian Prime Minister from the World
Oh,
Cup?
Yeah, she is actually.
Oh.
And, you know, I shouldn't really objectify her by talking about who is a woman who is a successful business person. Mentioning
Sometimes
her
you
looks.
Can't help yourself, though, can you?
Mentioning her looks is probably sexist and belittling. But look.
Do you know her name? Paula Nichols, is that her?
That's it. So I know her sister, Faye, and her sister, Faye, has often posted things on Facebook. My sister's in the news again. I'm really proud of her. Have you seen a picture of her?
Oh, yeah.
And so she's always in the news again. The woman charged with turning round John Lewis's fortunes. And because she's in the paper a lot, and because I've seen a few new John Lewis's open recently, I thought,
I bet
fucking
you
hell,
have down here.
John Lewis is fucking thriving.
Huh.
But no, and my little bubble, my John Lewis bubble, I think it's fucking... That's like my cousin who lives in New York, and he thought that The Guardian... because I sometimes write for The Guardian, and he was going, oh, God, you must be... he lives in New York, right? And he goes, you must be coining it in writing for The Guardian. I said, what are you talking about? I said, have you not heard journalism's in crisis? You barely get paid for it. And he goes, yeah, but The Guardian, I mean, that's the most popular paper. I said, what? He said, it's the most popular paper, isn't it? I thought that was the one that had survived crisis. I said, it's always been the lowest selling broadsheet. You know that, right? And it's because he lives in... part of Manhattan, downtown Manhattan, that is pretty much the most liberal bourgeois spot on earth, really. And it's all the New York Times and The Guardian, and they all hate Trump and they love all the liberal causes, and that's great. But you can get locked in so much of a bubble that you imagine that The Guardian is the paper read by 90% of the population globally, because the only other people you meet or interact with are people exactly like you. And ditto John Lewis.
You say that. Do you know how far away my nearest Waitrose is? How far away would your nearest Waitrose be from where you live?
In the car, I can get to my nearest Waitrose in with no traffic. I can get there in 7 minutes.
So you're thinking about a mile and a half, do you reckon?
Yeah, about that. Right. About that.
My nearest one, 16 and a half miles away.
But, mate, there's
in
no...
Newcastle City Centre.
You don't need one because there is no market. They could open one round your way. No one wants... It's not just about money. You don't want... The Waitrose
but why can't
food.
We have one?
You don't, because you don't want it.
I've been in one. There's one round here near Talksport.
Yeah, and what, how did you feel? Confused, I bet.
I get nice coffee from it.
Well, you can get nice coffees, I'm sure.
The bacon sandwich in there, you get too much bacon.
Well, there you go. Exactly. This is what I'm saying, Andy.
If Paula Nichols is listening to this, cut down on the bacon in the bacon roll.
This is why she's... This is why she's not expanding
she's
into
away.
Sunderland, because there's going to be attitudes like this. She's thinking it's not worth the fucking trouble.
No,
they'll all come in.
Up.
You're picking
you're
shit up.
Family of four on one of them bacon rolls.
You'll be picking it up, throwing things around, all of you, like marching in. The place would be like a mess. Within 10 minutes of the doors opening in the middle of Sunderland, that Waitrose would be... The fixtures and fittings of the copper wiring would be torn out of the walls. Everything. There'd be people just like bashing things over, like, over there. The man sat on the top of the shelves.
We're just curious.
Yeah, I know, but it's like when you go to a safari park and the chimps get in your car and pull the fucking aerial off.
Yeah, but could they not start with one of the little Waitroses and open one of them first as a kind of a gateway? A gateway Waitrose.
No point, mate. You've got your convenience stores. You've got everything you need. You've got your Fray Bentos pies. You've got your sausage rolls in your thermos flasks. That's enough.
This is fucking Tory Central, this.
So anyway, why has John Lewis done so badly? The employee-owned business. Oh, yeah, it's like Barcelona. They let everyone have a share.
Yeah.
Which also includes... Yeah, so it's quite a socialist sort of cooperative,
it is,
isn't it?
In theory, it's a,
and
it's
that,
a
and
good
And I tell
thing.
You what, one thing about John Lewis is the customer service is unrivaled in store.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you order something online or over the phone, it might not be as good, but when you're in store, it's amazing.
But is that not because the partners, as they're called, have all got a stake in
exactly.
it?
Exactly. So it works.
Socialist utopia.
It's fucking great. They're all into it. It is like a socialist utopia because you go in and they, and I have actually done this. This is something that you might enjoy. I've gone into a department, and whoever works in that department, it's not like we've talked before, you know, like if you're in Sports Direct or if you're in like Dixon's or whatever it's called now, mm-hmm. right, and you go up to the geezer or a mobile phone shop, that's a good one, you go excuse me mate, and he's just talking to his mate. There's two Asian lads, they've both got sort of Diamante earrings,
yeah.
And they reek of Lynx, mm-hmm. right, and they've got a shitload of product in their hair, right, and they're sort of like very much budget Cristiano Ronaldo's. And they're just chatting to each other about bullshit, making up lies about birds who they reckon they've had it off with.
It sounds great, doesn't
and
it?
And you're standing there for ages trying to get their attention. And you go, "Excuse me, mate, can you help me with something?" "Yeah, of course, mate. I'm just trying to choose between this phone and another phone. Can you tell me what this one's like?" "Yes, good phone, you know." "Yes. Do you think it's worth getting? I need blah, 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 blah." The other one I've heard, it might be a little bit... "I don't know, man. It's a good phone, you know, but it's up to you."
"I use lots of data because I'm on the move quite a bit.
Yeah,
you know, what's
I'd
the data package
that.
Like with this
I don't know. I don't know, you know. It's pretty good, but, you know, it's up to you." "Yeah, I know it's up to me, but I'm asking your opinion because you work here in the shop." "Well, me personally, I got an iPhone X, you know, because, you know, I got a discount on it because it's stuff discount. But I don't know, like, that's a good phone too, you know."
You're like, mate, fucking throw me a bone here.
You said you wouldn't get that in John Lewis.
John Lewis, I've gone into John Lewis even when I have no intention of buying something, and I've gone to the kitchen department, and I've gone up to the bloke, and it'll very much be a sort of suits you, sir. It's very often a man, a silvery hair, a silver fox, slightly camp, very attentive. Hello, can I help?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what would you say is the best, money no object, frying pan that you've got?
Yeah.
Fuck me. He's talked me through it for like 10 minutes, and it's amazing. He's telling you why and everything.
And you don't even need a frying pan. You've just gone in for that experience, just to brighten your day.
But that is one example where I did ask him just to brighten my day because I had time to kill.
Just to talk to someone.
And he talked me through it, and he told me the difference between a good one and a bad one and all the rest of it. And in the end, he told me which the best one was. And I can't remember the name, but it's a French brand.
How much was it? How much did it cost?
Well, it was about, I don't know, it was a lot of money. It was like 50 quid or something like that, right? But do you know what I did at Christmas time on my birthday? No, my sister-in-law said, what would you like? And she's quite intense. She's really good at buying presents, but she's really intense about asking you. If you don't give her an answer, she gets really fucked off.
Yeah.
So you feel under pressure. You go, what? Listen, I've got to get your birthday present. What do you want? Just tell me what you want. So you're under pressure to say something. You can't, if you give her a sort of, I don't know, I'm happy with anything, to be honest. She's like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Mm.
So I said, I was under loads of pressure. I said, there's a great frying pan in John Lewis. And I remembered the name of it because I'd written it down somewhere. And I told her it, and she fucking bought it for me. I've still got it. And he was right. It stays non-stick forever. Because on most frying pans, they make it out of some cheap metal and then they spray or paint on the non-stick resin or whatever it is. This particular pan, right, the metal itself, it's inbuilt. It's inherent in the metal. It's made out of the stuff, which means that the non-stickness will never wear off.
This is what I always say, you know, buy cheap, buy twice.
Exactly. And so that's good. And I've done it. And another time I was in John Lewis, I said, what is... Because I'd had such good experience with a frying pan, I actually did need some oven gloves. And I said to him, mate, I thought I'd put this to the test. I went, his responsibility was for the whole kitchen equipment section, which is vast at the main John Lewis in the centre of London. And I went, I'm interested in getting some oven gloves. What would you say are the best oven gloves? Fuck me. Different bloke, does exactly the same thing, talks me through all of them from like the bottom up to the best.
TED
Talk on oven gloves, I got the best one.
Nice one.
I've got these two separate red gloves that look like they're made out of rubber. And I'm telling you, mate, you could put them inside a fucking, a furnace.
Really?
Like the one in Flashdance that she uses to melt all the metal.
Yeah.
Put them in there.
That's quite sexy stuff, isn't it?
You'd be fine.
Yeah.
If I was having it off with her, I think Jennifer Grey is her name. Jennifer Grey?
Jennifer Beals?
No. Maybe. She's now actually plays the mum in Red Oaks, which is a really good Amazon original. Have you watched that?
No, I haven't.
I can recommend that.
Jennifer Beals, mate.
Anyway, if I was getting off with Jennifer Beals, who is still really hot, even though...
So it's not
she's
beyond the realms
now,
of possibility.
I reckon I could. If I got the opportunity, I reckon I could chat her up. I'd wear those gloves.
If you bumped into her in John Lewis, do you reckon you could?
Oh, Jennifer Beals, fancy seeing you here. I'm the popular writer and broadcaster, Sam Delaney.
And if you were near the
Sam,
frying pans...
I know who you are. Yeah, anyway.
If you were near the frying pans, you could just recreate that lecture you got from the fella.
Yeah,
and
that would seduce
the shit
her
out of her. Yeah,
and cut to us in a nearby hotel suite, me spanking her bum with a non-stick.
With a frying pan. So I think we've got to the bottom there of why John Lewis is in trouble, and what they can do about it. Basically, Brexit.
Yeah, is that it? But why would Brexit make a difference?
I don't know. Brexit's going to make everything worse, isn't it?
Do you think people are worried about money, so they've stopped spending?
I don't know. I think people are buying stuff online now. I don't think people give a shit about Amazon not paying their taxes and staff dying in warehouses.
It's convenience and it's price, isn't it? Those are the two things you look for. You're not ever going to get that. I tell you what I have done. This is awful now I think about it. I have before gone on the John Lewis website, checked out what they stock, what their best things are in a particular range. And then, because they won't stock stuff that's shit. They're like, you know, they're very discerning in what they stock. You find out on John Lewis what they stock, and then you go on Amazon and buy the same thing for cheaper.
But is John Lewis never knowingly undersold? They'll price match Amazon, won't they?
Oh, yeah, I never knew what that meant. I literally didn't know what undersold meant.
Yeah, they'll price match pretty much anything. I don't know if it's online stuff. Anyway, fucking hell. Let's wrap this up.
Right.
Let's end with the news without news.
Yeah.
See how many of these headlines you'd be tempted to delve deeper into, Sam. Woman shocked to find entire potato in bag of Lidl crisps.
Yeah, I'd read that. 8.
Yeah, you wouldn't get that in Waitrose either, would
no.
you?
Oh, no way.
Boy, 6, banned from school because his mohawk could poke someone in the eye.
9.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Man finally loses virginity at 45 after getting bionic penis.
10. 10. 10. 10.
11.
10.
11. And finally, live tapeworm still swimming as it was pulled out of man's brain.
Oh, my God. That's another 9. They're all strong this week.
They are, aren't they? What yeah. a week for stories. There yeah. we go, then. That's us from News Thing for
That's
this
great.
Week.
That was News Thing this week. Get in touch on the old Twitter at News Thing and also on News Thing or on Top Like Time Machine, our other podcast. Please tell us what your best bits are. Your
of
best
anything.
Bits in films or in your life. Stick to films to begin with, but if you want to give us other categories, then feel free.
I hope that was precise enough for you.
Yeah, there.
Thanks for listening.
Best bit, fingering Louise Mason on the crazy golf bunker, summer 91. Interrupted by drunken Parky.
Could only be improved.
Downhill ever since.
Could only be improved if it was Jennifer Beals.
Yeah. All right, thanks everyone. Stay in touch. Love you today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.